The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Exactly how far would you go to get justice for the murder of three children? I get it. Bending the rules to find the person responsible for a heinous crime is something most of us can understand and empathize with. But what if the person or people you decide are responsible for the crime are kids themselves? What if you are just a little too close to the case, and three innocent people end up with murder charges, all because of religious bias? Our story begins in West Memphis, Arkansas in 1993, and is still going today. Welcome to another intriguing episode of All Things Mysterious, the podcast where all the realms of true crime, supernatural, and the unexplained converge. I'm your host, Jordan.
I'm Matt.
We're ready to plunge into today's fascinating mysteries. Let's dive right in. The story began in 1993. It was a normal day. Steve Branch, Michael Moore, and Christopher Byers, all 8 years old, had not returned home, and their parents got worried, so they sent out a small search party. When they still weren't home by morning, panic began to set in, and authorities started using larger equipment like helicopters to try and find the boys. They were eventually found that afternoon, in a ditch, near a truck wash, deceased. Their clothes were scattered. The boys had been hogtied with their own shoelaces. The worst part was Christopher had the skin of his penis cut off, among other parts. They had been sexually assaulted. Two of the boys died from drowning, but Christopher died from blunt force trauma. Luminol tests showed just enough blood in the area for authorities to believe this is where the boys had died.
That's graphic.
Yeah, it's not pretty. Obviously, the families were extremely upset. They were told to be home by 4:30. And when the first couple hadn't shown up, at first they weren't too concerned. Oh, they got carried away. They're out playing. They were best friends. They'll be home in a couple minutes. And a couple minutes went by. And then it was like, okay, now it's cause for concern.
When did this happen?
1993.
This may be a little bit of a rant, but there's so many people who say kids are not given the freedom that we were given as kids. And it's cases like this that tell you why. I was given a lot of freedom as a kid. There's times where I rode my bike on range line doing stupid crap. I don't know how many times I almost got hit by a car.
Oh, yeah. I definitely did things that nowadays would be at the very least frowned upon. Like, there's no way I would be out wandering around by myself.
Oh, I know. And I don't necessarily think things are worse than they were. I think it's just with the internet, everything's more visible.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I don't think things are worse. I think actually, in a way, they're probably better.
A lot of stuff never made the news, and if it didn't make the news, you wouldn't know about it.
Exactly. But now, stories like this happened in 1993, and while we are neighboring states with Arkansas, this is a nationwide case, and just about everybody knows about it for the most part. It's a very big case, and at some point, I'm not spoiling anything, but celebrities even get involved. It's huge. The man who found the boys was a parole officer helping with the search, and after seeing the state of the kids' bodies and overhearing parts of the investigation, jumped immediately, along with investigators, to Satanism. The killer or killers had used three or more kinds of knots, leading authorities to believe it wasn't just one killer. In addition, due to the location being close to a woodsy area, the parole officer immediately thought of one of his parolees, Damien Eccles. But it wasn't just his idea. Authorities were sure this was the work of a Satanist and asked parole officers who they thought it may be that fit the bill. According to him, the now-named West Memphis 3 fit the bill. Damien was 18 at the time, a legal adult, had tattoos, wore black clothes, was supposedly into the occult, and listened to metal music, which seemed to just spur investigators on. His alibi for that night was that he was home, making calls to his girlfriends. He denied having anything to do with the murders, but investigators still prodded, asking things like how someone might get the boys alone. And Damien's answers for those were things like, the boys were not big, not smart, and they would have been easy to control, which naturally just put him more on their radar. There were zero physical evidence putting him at the scene or tying him to the murders.
It amazes me how many things are blamed on Satanists.
Yeah, so basically because the kids were beaten up and hogtied, and I believe it was also a full moon that night, they were like, and somehow the number three came into it because there were three kids, three boys. This was obviously the work of a Satanist. Obviously.
Obviously.
It's so clear to everybody for obvious reasons. That's immediately what I think of for sure. When I think of Satanism, that's the first thing my mind goes to for sure. No, not at all. And during an investigation, instead of looking at forensic evidence, the first thing I'm going to do is just, I don't know, ask people who they know that might be a Satanist.
I really love the fact that everything that you used to describe this, that they said the reason why they said he was a Satanist, none of it actually points to him being a Satanist.
Zero. He is Wiccan, by the way.
Yeah, which is not...
Not even remotely close.
Anytime anybody hears Satanist, they automatically think evil.
And that's not the case. At least not for most. I'm sure that they're probably just like with every other religion, there are extremes.
I don't care if they're Satanist, Christian, Muslim, Jewish. You're going to find evil people in all categories.
Exactly. Every single one.
Heck, even atheists and agnostics, you're going to find evil people in there. It's just people are people. Doesn't matter what religion you practice, you're going to be evil whether you're religious or not. Now, the difference with the religion is you can use it to justify your actions, and people do it all the time.
Yep, I agree 100%.
That's the other problem is you get these biases. Everybody has biases, whether you want to admit it or not. The problem is if you don't admit it, that bias is still there, and it's going to affect your job. That's why, honestly, the best detectives are the ones who understand that they're going to have bias towards something. And if you understand that you have it, you can do things to counteract it. And that's all this is. Parole officer sees this crime, wants to solve it. Obviously, it's got to be one of his parolees.
It has to be, clearly. The guy has evil tattooed on his knuckles or his fingers, so it's got to be him.
Yeah, and it's frustrating because the other thing we see a lot of is once a cop gets it in their head that this person is guilty, it's no longer about the evidence. It's trying to force the evidence to prove your point.
And yet they sure did, except they left out all the evidence, period, and just cherry-picked a person regardless.
Yeah, that's what makes this worse, is they didn't even use any evidence.
I have no idea.
It's got to be something. Normal people don't just see something and automatically assume Satanism.
You would think.
I don't know. I guess I'm just not a normal person.
I know I'm not. During Damien's investigation, his friend Jesse Miskelly was brought up, and of course, Jesse was also questioned. But the thing about Jesse is that he had some intellectual disabilities and was only 17, but he was questioned without a parent or lawyer present. During the 12-hour-long questioning, of which only parts of which were recorded, Jesse said that he, Damien, and their third best friend, Jason Baldwin, who was 16, had beaten the boys to death. The questions were leading, and this is the only quote-unquote evidence they have tying these three teenagers to the crime.
You're just going to keep making me do rants all night, aren't you?
Yes, and it's going to get worse from here. Sorry, not sorry.
So, if you coerce someone to make a confession, they are going to make a confession. It is how the mind works. Essentially what it boils down to, torture someone for hours at a time. Of course they're going to eventually confess to whatever you want them to confess to get it to stop.
Yeah, he had a very low IQ. I believe it was like 72. And like all the questions were incredibly misleading. At one point, he confessed that it happened at noon. And the next detective was like, didn't you say it happened after school? Oh, yeah, it happened after school. And then that changed to what actually happened at 8 o'clock at night, because that obviously couldn't have happened during school hours. The boys didn't even go missing until at least 4:30. And so, like, none of it should have even been taken seriously.
No. The military learned a long time ago that torture is not effective, because they're just going to tell you what you want to hear. At that point, the truth goes out the door. I just don't understand why our military has learned this. Why has police departments not learned it yet?
I don't understand why his parents allowed it. I just don't understand all of it. Because even immediately after this, basically he recanted. And he was like, actually, none of that happened. He was just scared to death, trying to get out of the situation. He was terrified.
Wasn't he a minor at the time?
Yeah, he was 17. He shouldn't have even been allowed to be questioned.
No, he should have had a parent or a lawyer present or an advocate. That's strike one. To me, any kind of confession that they got should be inadmissible, because it's just not reliable. There's a reason why we have these rules in place. And I'm 99% sure that we had that rule in place that minors can't be questioned without an adult present.
I agree, but somehow they got away with so much on stupid case.
And I know it's a complex topic and there's no easy answer, but kids being tried as adults. To me, I'm on the fence on it, because obviously we know that kids aren't mentally capable of a lot of stuff. They're still growing, their brain's still forming. But on the other hand, accountability. At the very least, you've got to give kids the benefit or the same protections adults get.
I get it. I can understand if you're a couple months from 18, I guess I can understand being tried as an adult, but not at the same time.
Yeah.
It's so difficult because the laws were put in place for a reason, to protect you.
Forgot to take blood pressure pills today.
Yeah, you should have taken extras.
I'm not even on blood pressure pills, but I'm pretty sure if I would go do a physical right after I get done recording with you, I'd probably be put on blood pressure.
For sure. Present. Regardless of the lack of evidence, all three teenagers, Damien, Jesse, and Jason, were tried for murder as adults using Jesse's...
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water. Enjoy. And watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Confession. But Jesse almost immediately recanted his confession, which was not recorded. Even though details of Jesse's confession did not match the physical details of the crime, Jesse was sentenced to life in prison plus 40 years. Jason was also found guilty and sentenced to life in prison, but the worst was Damien Eccles. He was found guilty and sentenced to death.
I don't know how they got convicted, because so far everything I'm seeing is there's not anything there to actually convict on.
There was one tiny piece of evidence. There was a fiber found, I can't remember if it was on one of the boys or found near them, that matched a fiber from inside one of the boys' houses. That's it. Ta-da. That was all of the evidence.
A mass-produced fiber.
That's correct. Yes. There was no other evidence at all, period. There was nothing tying them to the crime scene. There was no footprints. There was no DNA evidence. There was no blood samples. There was no anything.
I don't know anything about this case, honestly. I'm sure I've heard about it, bits and pieces.
Right.
Honestly, if I were convicted of a crime, I don't know if I would want to do a jury trial.
It's terrifying because I know I'm innocent and the evidence will show that I'm innocent. But obviously, even in cases like this, everybody is so biased that even if you are, obviously, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, because at this point, these people aren't wanting the truth. They're wanting to convict someone. They're wanting someone to die for what happened. And here they have the perfect scapegoats for them. You know, I don't trust people. If there's not enough evidence to convict beyond a reasonable doubt, there's no way they should be convicted.
If they had listened to that, there's no way these guys would have been convicted, period.
Yeah, right now, unless there's some other evidence that I haven't heard about yet, I don't even know what these jury people are thinking. One of these days, I want to do an interview with someone that was on the jury and just try to understand what they were thinking. And not just in this case.
It just ruins people's lives for no good reason. After their convictions, the West Memphis Three all asked for a new trial and were quickly denied. But something new and something good was coming for them in the form of a documentary called Paradise Lost. This documentary got eyes of some celebrities who then got media involved, who put immense pressure on the original investigators. Turns out, with new evidence, there is DNA, and a lot of the cuts on the boys' bodies were most likely post-mortem from wildlife in and around the water. In 2010, a new deal was brought to the table, an Alford plea. If you don't remember what an Alford plea is, basically, it's remaining guilty while staying innocent, and in 2011, they accepted the plea and are finally free. But who actually killed Chris, Steve, and Mike?
We all know how I feel about Alfred, please.
Yes, we do. But I will say in this one, it's probably their best bet because the entire town, the entire justice system had all decided that they were guilty. And even with a new trial, they were still going to get judged all over.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The reason they offered him the plea is because they knew that they won't be able to win a retrial. Because obviously, if they did, they would have pled it out. Because 90% of cases prosecutors take, plead out.
Yeah. And I don't blame them. I would have done the same thing.
The prosecutor who offered that to them is a piece of crap.
I have to agree.
And I hope he listens to this and hears this. Because I'm going to say you were a piece of shit. You know that you couldn't win the case. So you offered him this deal to basically keep your win rate up without actually having any justice for these kids. I know I give crappy cops a hard time all the time, and I don't really talk about the other side of it a whole lot, even though I should, because prosecutors are sometimes worse than the cops themselves, because if your whole entire job depends on you winning cases, at that point, you're not working for the truth. You're not working for justice.
No.
You're working for your own self-gain.
I think it does, too. It's like I was just saying, okay, they're free, which I don't agree with how everything went down for obvious reasons. It's a complete nightmare. They lost 18 years of their lives. Everybody still connects them to this case. They're still known as the West Memphis Three. Chris, Steve, and Mike, obviously, their names are barely even known for this case, and their names are the ones who should be known. They're the victims. And we still don't actually know who freaking did it.
Find out who killed these boys. So that's all that matters in this case. I'm sure even saying that, there's going to be people who are going to be pissed off at me. I don't fucking care. So let's find out who killed these boys and fuck prosecutor's records. Fuck all that shit. Guarantee that prosecutor Chester.
For sure.
100%.
we do actually have two suspects, two of them, who are not the West Memphis Three. I'm going to go with the less likely suspect first. We're going to call this the Mr. Bojangles theory. A black man was seen entering a Bojangles restaurant covered in blood and mud, heading directly to the restroom. The restaurant was only about a mile from the crime scene. The man had left blood on the walls, and thinking something was surely wrong, as he was also acting disoriented, the manager called the police, but by the time police arrived, the man had left. Samples were taken and the man left his sunglasses behind, but ultimately those samples were lost. Many people believe the man could have had something to do with the murder of the three boys, but as he was wearing a cast of some sort on his left arm, it's debatable whether he could have committed the actual crime or not. Either way, like I said, all of the samples were lost. I don't think this has anything to do with the murders. I think, honestly, it was probably just a homeless person who got into some sort of scuffle and was really disoriented and not right in the head. That's just my personal belief.
How far was it from the crime scene?
About a mile.
Ultimately, a mile doesn't seem like a whole lot of distance. But if you're covered in blood, someone's going to see you in that mile.
And mud, too. So, yeah. Like, you look like a bloody swamp monster. And I feel like somebody aside from the people at Bojangles would have seen something.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. I'm sure there was other gas stations or restaurants somewhere in between.
Yep.
So why would he walk a mile just to go to the Bojangles?
Yeah, it was just really weird. Don't get me wrong. I very much appreciate that the first thing they did, obviously, was call the police and notify them that, hey, something real weird is happening here. But of course, they lost the samples. And there surprisingly was, quote unquote, a sample to match it to, quote unquote. I don't know if it necessarily had anything to do with the murders, but there was a hair that supposedly belonged to a black man that was found on or around one of the boys. So not 100% sure if it was somehow contaminated, which is possible, but we're not sure. So that's where it really ties in.
Yeah, but we did an episode on the Phantom of Heilbronn.
Yes.
Things get contaminated.
They do. They get contaminated. It was an outdoor scene.
And that's the problem. You've got to have forensics that are really good. And back in the 90s.
They just weren't.
That's another thing that seems to be a recurrent theme in our episodes is at some point someone loses some kind of evidence.
I just want to know how. This is so important. How do you lose all of it?
Reminds me of the Amelia Earhart thing where they found the bones.
Yeah. And then you just misplace them.
Yeah. Anyways, so obviously forensics have come a long way since then.
If you keep track of it.
Granted, most of the things that we talk about happened a long time ago.
I'm still mad at them. Anyway. Yeah.
This theory doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but like I said, if it was him, why wouldn't he go to somewhere closer? Because if you're covered in mud and blood, the first thing you're going to want to do is get cleaned up. So you're going to go to the closest gas station you can.
Exactly.
To me, this is not really a good theory. So we'll bring back the grading system. I'll give it a negative C minus.
That's acceptable for this one, because it's really not a great one. The next one I think you'll like.
Tell me about it.
All right, my final offer to you. Terry Hobbs, Steve's stepfather, had a very awkward alibi that night. He said he was with his friend David, but there is hair evidence that was found at the scene that closely matches both Terry and David. Terry also has a history of both domestic and sexual violence in his past and was known to hit Steve with a belt when he misbehaved.
So, unfortunately, the hair doesn't necessarily prove anything.
It doesn't, but David's hair being on him as well, it could have been a transfer.
I assume if they're friends, David probably spent time at the house. So it's not necessarily unheard of to think the hair could get transferred.
No, but supposedly that night, his alibi, he was with his friend David, but it's a really shaky alibi. And supposedly, David didn't want to back it up. That's the thing. I don't think that David was. I think Terry did it by himself.
You'd have to say Terry's hair was put on there during the struggle or during the murder. But then David's hair was a transfer, which doesn't necessarily make a whole lot of sense. That's the problem with the hair is it could either be a transfer or it could be a transfer during the murder.
Yeah. A lot of people believe that it was Terry because of his history of violence, and he's got a decently long history of domestic and sexual violence in his past. It would make sense in a way. A lot of the time, it's usually somebody close to the victim, and he is close to one of the victims.
In my opinion, whoever killed the boys knew the boys somehow. Either that or there was multiple people who actually killed them because you would have to control them. Ultimately, I think that it is probably someone that the kids knew. I think the evidence against Terry is not very good. I definitely think he deserves a second look.
I agree.
It's a tragic story all the way around. I'm going to go take some blood pressure pills now.
The West Memphis 3 is a case that will be known in history to prove bias. Or do you truly believe Damien, Jesse, and Jason did it? Will we ever truly know who killed the 3 8-year-old boys because investigators were so focused on who they believed did these atrocious acts? Until investigators focus on evidence over bias, Steve, Michael, and Chris will never get the justice they deserve. Thank you for joining us on this journey through all things mysterious. Your engagement is what makes this so rewarding. If you've enjoyed uncovering these mysteries with us, please show your support by liking, subscribing, and following us on your favorite listening platform. For more intriguing content and ways to stay connected, don't forget to check us out on our links in the description below. Your involvement is the key to unlocking more thrilling mysteries.
As always, we keep you guessing.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.